Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Part of the JC Hawk Sports Network. Tune in tonight to hear news of the USWFL as well as other sports talk. Listen live every week on Blog Talk Radio or catch our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many others. Just type in JC Hawk Radio in the search box.
All right. Welcome back to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. She's glad to be back on here. I hate I missed last week. I had an abscess tooth and my face was all swelled up. My jaw couldn't hardly talk. So we had to postpone. So glad to be back on here tonight. And we're actually at a rodeo arena going live here. It's called Rodeo in the Valley. Good friend of mine I've known for years and years, named Brad Nams. He owns this place and does a good job with it. And we're getting ready to rope some steers here in a little bit. Earlier in the week, they buffed a lot of bulls, and we're getting ready to rope. And you might hear a lot of commotion going on. We got tractors and panels and putting up bleachers for rodeo, IPRA rodeo tomorrow night, Saturday night. For those who don't know, IPRA is the next step below PRCA. It's PRCA being the professional and IPRA just being right below it. That's where everybody starts out. So it's a really, really big deal. He's got a heck of a nice place here. Like I said, I've known him forever since he was a kid. Hauled him around long before he had driver's license and everything else. So I've known him for that long. And he's a real successful guy now. He's got like 3 or 4 airplanes. It's unreal, but he's did well for himself. So we're out here live. We're going to rope some steers tonight and sort them for the rodeo this weekend. So appreciate him letting me set up here in the announcer's booth and go live. And we'll talk about roping a little bit. I've been roping some, haven't got to here lately. Like, gonna go get back at it. We got a roping this coming weekend on Saturday, and we're actually producing it. Guy I work for, and me and him's doing it, and he's got a really nice little arena, and we're gonna run it and have a pretty good roping. And trying to get ready for that truck roping. My brother's having in September in Cleveland, Tennessee. It'd be a great turnout down there. How they do a truck roping is everybody puts up their money, and there'll probably be 1,000 teams in it. And whoever's the fastest on 3 steers at the end of it will win the roping, and then you accumulate points from there. So if you place 10 times, you're most likely going to win a new 4-door Dodge Dually truck. So it's a big deal, a really big deal. There'll be people from all over the country coming in or in it, and I'm excited to hopefully get to enter some. I've been working really hard trying to get back to where I need to be to compete. I have been to 2 ropings. One I didn't do so good. I felt like I roped good enough to win it, and I didn't. The next one I did actually place a little bit, missed the steer to win the roping. I roped, I felt pretty good. I just missed the one that counted the most, and been really working on that. And you know, it's just like football. We video it and we watch it. You know, you learn from your mistakes. You try not to make the same one twice, and you try not to do the same thing twice. And I've got a horse that he's got some age on him and hadn't been rode in 5 years. And you know, he's out of shape, green, just back at it as well as I am. And it's tough. So we got some new horses on the way. Hopefully one of them's going to really, really suit me, and I can get back to where I was several years ago. I mean, I know I'm a lot older, and things change and get a lot different and tougher as you get older. And I'm just now really finding out what all that means. And, you know, for years I watched these people, you know, as a kid get older and seen them struggle. And, you know, you just don't never think it's going to happen to you, but it does. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's really taking a toll on me as far as, you know, just the way I feel the next day when I get up. I've got to start exercising more. I got to start stretching more. Just got to be in better shape. That's all there is to it, man. I haven't, you know, I'm just 2 or 3 months removed from being able to do anything. And I really, I'm way ahead of where I need, they said I'd be. So I feel good about that. But, you know, I don't like to wait and hope. I like to make things happen. So I'm going to get back at it. You know, we, like I said, we went to roping, I guess it was a couple weeks ago. A good friend of mine, Zach Hicks and her daddy Huck, I've known them forever, hauled them around when they was young. And Derek was actually, him and his wife, before they were even married, were actually mine and Jennifer's wedding. So been good friends with them for a long, long time. And was glad to, you know, get back at it to see them and hang around my roping family. It's been a good while. So, you know, it's a lot of fun, man. I'm telling you, I've really, really missed it. And I'm going to, maybe not tonight, I don't know who's around here, but maybe we might start doing this pretty regular, coming out here on Thursdays or something, or get some of these guys that come in here and ride some bulls, get on here and talk a little, or some ropers. Or I'd like to get a guy named Cody Old to join the show. He's a world champion calf roper, and he had a really bad setback with a knee replacement that got infected, and he about died. And I'd like for him to come on and talk about that and all the success he's had in the rodeo, and when it was taken away. But not only did, you know, about cost him his life, it cost him everything he owned. I mean, he was selling gold buckles just to pay doctor bills and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to work on getting him on here to come and talk to us about the ups and the downs. And, you know, all these professional athletes seem to have a lot of that. You watch this 30 for 30 stuff on ESPN, and you know, you get a lot of that stuff. So he's a really, really good competitor. I mean, this guy has, if you'd have seen him when he was in the hospital, he couldn't even walk, and now he's back competing at the highest level there is in rodeo, and it's phenomenal. And what he went through, I mean, it really is whatever. It's, you know, you hear a lot of people say that, but it ain't always the case. But for him, it really was whatever it takes. And this guy's been through it, and I'm amazed, honestly, of what he's done. I mean, if you can just imagine, and like I say, I know a lot of you listeners don't know a lot about rodeo events, but it's a great sporting event, and it's no different than a lot of these athlete football players and basketball players that, you know, have these bad injuries, and they tell them they never play again, and, you know, they work their hind ends off to do so. Look at Alex Smith. You know, and had that just a fluke thing, and they said he'd never play again, and he did. So it's no different than anybody else, the way it happens. And so I'm looking forward to I'm going to get some of these rodeo guys on here. They don't get a lot of spotlight on them or anything like that. You know, it's not a news channel. It's not out there every day or a TV channel out here every day recording them or putting it out there and all that. So they're unsung heroes to me, these guys. And, you know, there's a couple guys that are 7-time world champions, then Jake Barnes and Clay Cooper. There's so many kids named after those guys. It's unbelievable. That's what they've meant to the sport, you know, and it's really – it really is unbelievable. You just can't imagine of how, what kind of icons those guys are. I mean, they're at Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, you know, Brett Favre, all those, Joe Montana, those kind of guys' status, and everybody wants to name their kids after them. So you know, that's what rodeo is. But, you know, a lot of people never heard of them. I mean, you could ask about anybody in the world, and they know who Michael Jordan or Peyton Manning or somebody like that was. But you'd ask people about who rodeo legends are, and nobody knows. So they don't get what they deserve, and I'd like to sure get some of them on here to talk. And like I said, maybe we can. I'll have to really work on that. But what about football? We're second week in high school football around here. You know, the local teams didn't fare so good. No, Greenville, Tennessee, come up here and beat Tennessee High. I think Daniel Boone got beat. David Crockett got beat by a team. They're a 5A, got beat by a 2 or 3A school. But the school system where Jennifer works, Elizabethan City Schools, Elizabethan High, they went to Science Hill. They're a 4A and beat the Stocks off a 6A team. This week they traveled to Morristown West to play a 5A team. So, you know, they surprised me. The guy coaches them, his name's Sean Whitten. He's the brother of Jason Whitten that played for University of Tennessee and the Dallas Cowboys for years. The guys did a phenomenal job. I'll just tell you, I'm not a huge fan, but the guy has done a phenomenal job. They bought in, and everything he's done is right. I mean, last year they made it to the last game before the championship. Year before that, they lost the championship. Year before that, they went back-to-back, you know, and just every year, man, they're just there. And to go beat a 6A team, I was really, really, really surprised. So I actually picked the other Science Hill to win. I just didn't think that they could reload. I know they didn't have the success last year that they wanted, but I didn't think they could reload like they did. And boy, they did it in true fashion. I mean, they dominated the game from start to finish, took the opening drive, 75 yards and scored, and never let up. So they look like they're on track. Coach Mike Wallace, supposed to be calling in here just any time, talk about high school football where he's coaching. I know they're 1-0 and getting ready to go, I think, to Nashville maybe to play. And, you know, it's going to be a great game for them, I'm sure, you know. So we look forward to talking to him, see what they got going on, and can't wait to talk to him. Haven't talked to him in a while. See what's going on with the team he coaches. And I believe they're called Tri-City Christian School. I know it's a private school. So all I know is they're 1-0. I wanted to get him on before the game, but they couldn't come, or he couldn't get on. They had a joint practice, so he had to postpone on me. And then last week I had that bad tooth, so we couldn't get him on. And look forward to him calling in tonight if he doesn't forget, and see what they got going on. But you know, high school football is in pure fashion. So it's great. And before I get Coach on, they said he's on here. Man, the rivalry between Sullivan East and Tennessee High, hadn't played in I forget how many years, 8 or 10 years. It's this Friday night again. It's at Sullivan East. That's actually where the Tennessee Thunder has played their home games the last few years. And it's sold out. I mean, that's what high school football is about, is sellout games, rivalries. Man, I say it all the time. That's what makes great football. Sullivan East is 1-0. Tennessee High is 0-1. Probably the first time in history that they've ever played where one has not won a game and one has won a game, and it's the opposite. So, what a great game that should be. And I heard that they sold out, and they bringing more bleachers in for people to sit. That's what a rivalry game means. And that's what I say about women's football. They're scared of rivals, and they don't like to play, but it's huge. It needs to happen. So we'll talk about that next week. But let's bring on Coach Mike Wallace. How about it, Coach? You there?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Well, before I go any further, let's say four-time champ, Coach Wallace. How does that sound, man?
Four-time champ. It sounds pretty good. I'm not going to lie. It sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, there ain't very many people can say that, man.
No, there's not very many that can say one, you know. So to have four,
I know, and that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Not many people could say one and two, you know. How much of it did we hear when, you know, well, you won one, you can't win another, you know, and here it is, what, after the first one we won 6 years later, we won four. How about that, man?
Well, and to be honest, we should have six, you know, so it's
yeah.
You know, we're just a player or two
yeah.
away from, you know, saying, hey, we're six times, so you know, no,
yeah.
it's awesome to be able to say that and to be able to hold that, and they can never take it away from you, you know. It's just something that's always stuck with you.
Well, now tell me, I know we're going to compare a little bit here. I know that where y'all coaching, it's the second year back with the program and all that. And right now, as you're just going into your second game, with these kids, How comparable is it to the women we've been coaching over the past several years?
Well, for us, it's very comparable. One is we are doing eight-man, and we, you know, the last couple of years or so, we've done some eight-man with the Thunder. And it's very comparable with the knowledge because there's a lot of kids that are coming in to play for us, the first year, really we had maybe one or two that's ever played before. So we had to literally start like, you know, this is a football, you know, and so teaching was a must. We had to teach the sport. And then this year, of course, we have all of our players mostly coming back. We only lost one senior. So now we're to the point now where we can start building on a little bit. So it's comparable to the aspect of where you have got to really, really pay attention to the details and get all those. You're really teaching the fundamentals and getting them down and hoping that they can learn from them rather quickly, because the season, once practice starts, the season comes pretty quick. So you're hoping that they can just, you know, like we do with the girls, we're hoping that the fundamentals can be kicked in time for the games.
Well, just think about this for a minute. I know y'all are practicing every day, and as coaches, y'all have meetings and this and that and other. Just think what that would mean to a women's team or to the Thunder team to be able to practice that much and have that many coaches on staff, that everybody's on the same page, and, you know, all the wheels or the boats, you know, everybody's rowing the same way. Versus, you know, just me and you out there and in minimal time trying to drill and all these into their head and, you know, hoping they get it. And, you know, with very minimal practice, just think of that, man. How important would that be?
Well, when you practice every day, you retain more. With the way we were coaching with the girls team there, the Thunder, it seems like we were practicing every 2 weeks, but our practices were long. But every time we would start practice, it seemed like we were, the girls weren't retaining what they learned 2 weeks ago. So that's huge from the aspect of point of saying, if we could practice every day and have a staff of eight coaches and position coaches who are all on the same page, I mean, it's just you can't even comprehend. You can't put into words on how much it would mean if you had that going on the girls' side.
How many players total do y'all have on the varsity team there?
Right now we have 26 players on our varsity team. Now, last year we only had 12. So we've grown. We've doubled in size.
Right. And y'all are still playing eight-man. Are y'all going to play any 11-man games this year or just all eight?
So we've played, so far up to this point, we've scrimmaged, all of our scrimmages have been 11-man. our league or our conference is an 8-man conference in Tennessee. Now we're scheduled to play two more 11-man games, one with Jellicoe and one with Providence. And those are going to be actual games and not scrimmages. So we're slowly but surely trying to make the transition into that 11-man game.
Right. But you know what? I like the 8-man game. I'll just tell you, I loved it. I know, you know, like I said, a couple of years we played it with the Thunder. And I'm telling you, I actually loved it, man. I had a lot of fun. I think that, you know, I really believe this with all my heart. Man, you've talked about it a bunch. If you don't have at least 20 players, I don't believe you need to be playing anything but 8-man or 8-women football or whatever. And it's the same thing, Mike. And you know what? If most people didn't even know the difference, they wouldn't know the difference.
Well, it's the game is football with 8-man and 11-man. It really is. You're right. If you're sitting in the bleachers and you're not paying attention, you really wouldn't know the difference. But just for comparable for last year, we had 12 players and we're playing 8-man. So we would look to the sideline and say, hey, we're very low on subs. So we only had 4 to sub in. So this year we could look to the sideline and we've got, you know, pretty much a plethora. We got 26 players, 8 of them at any given time. And so we've doubled you kind of tripled pretty much almost in what you have as far as subs. So it's a huge difference. And, you know, 8-man, again, if you've never seen 8-man being played, it's, you know, the contact's still there. The rules are the same. You might play on the 80-yard field. For us, sometimes we play on the 80-yard field. The fields are a little more narrow. They're not 53 and a third or whatever. But, you know, it's still football.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, we played there a couple times and we really enjoyed it too, you know. And I just like you say, it's a good building. It's a good building place for you to be. You know what I mean? That you can start right there. So hold on. But it's a good building. It's a good building place for you know, to start football.
Right.
So I like it for that aspect. You know what I mean? And if it can work for y'all, you know, it can work for anybody. And it's better than not playing at all. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of teams, that's not their, you know, if they don't play, 8-man, they, you know, there's nowhere to play. And I know we came and watched y'all play last year, and that team that you were playing was really, really good. And I enjoyed it. So, you know, it's a huge move for teams versus not being able to play versus playing that 8-man.
Well, the options were, I think, you know, the Tri-Cities Christian Academy has a new school being built, and so the option was, well, let's just wait till we have the new school to even start a team, or do we just go forward and have a team and move into the facility? So, and the option to play 8-man turns out to be a really smart decision for us, because it allowed us to, you know, again, take a small group, build a core, have some fundamentals into it. And we doubled in size in just 2 years. So right now I think we got things heading in the right direction, and we're excited.
Well, you tell me if I'm wrong. You've already won as many games this year as you won last year. Is that correct?
Going in, yes, sir. Right now we are 1-0. Conference, though, we have not played a conference game. Our first conference game is tomorrow night against the Tennessee Heat, which is the first team that we played last year. And they really stuck it to us. But the difference between this year and last year for us is that we have had a total of 3 scrimmages and one actual game before. And last year we didn't have any. We went right into this Tennessee Heat team blind, never even had contact. We didn't really do much contact because we only had 12 people you know, to practice with. So this year, we're more confident, we're stronger, we're faster, and we're more knowledgeable. So I think we got a shot.
Right. Well, shoot, man, that's good. And tell me something. So I know y'all are a new team starting out and all that, but I was talking a little bit about this East Tennessee High rival, and you know what kind of game that's going to be. Even though I think East is 1-0 and Tennessee High is 0-1, I think Tennessee High has just got too many athletes for East. But if there has ever been a time for Sylvan East to beat Tennessee High, it is right now. And for y'all, my question is, who's going to be y'all's biggest rivalry?
Well, we're probably, you know, it's, I would say right now that the Providence, which is another private school here in Johnson City, is probably going to be our biggest rival. I know in basketball so far they are already, and they're just starting up a football team. But I think that once we start 11-man, maybe Lakeway would be a good rival for us. They're about an hour up the road. They're in Morristown. So, you know, we got two possibilities for us right now, which Providence is probably an easier matchup for us, but Lakeway could possibly be a strong rival to us.
Man, you know yourself. You played in a bunch of rivalry games, and I played in that East and Tennessee High game, for 4 years, you know, and it is a huge rivalry, and man, there's nothing like it, and you know, we've preached it forever with these women's teams of, you know, everybody wants to avoid everybody, and this, that, and other, you know, because of this, whatever, but man, there's nothing like rivalry games on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever, man. There's nothing like the hype, the media, the fans, and everybody, wherever the game's at. You know, like I said earlier, that thing sold out. They're bringing in more bleachers set up so they can set more people. I mean, man, just think what that means to both of those schools.
Well, rivalries are what makes sports go around. I mean, it doesn't matter what the sport is, whether it's boxing, whether it's, you know, football, basketball, baseball. Rivalries are just what make the sport. You know, it's like somebody asked me one time, it's like, well, why is a rivalry? Well, would you rather watch Alabama play ETSU, or would you rather be more interested in watching Alabama play Auburn? Or how about Alabama playing Arkansas or Auburn? The rivalry is just so much more intense, and it's much more exciting. And it's, you know, these in college, they're playing for the name across their chest, you know, and it's just, you know, it's just a different feel. It's just, you know, this rivalry is reflexive. They make it all go happen.
Well, you just think of the back in the day when Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, and all these guys played, man. I mean, that's what we loved about sports back then. I mean, I don't even watch that stuff now because it's just not the same, you know. And just think if you take those rivalries away, what it means, man. Just think of that.
Well, you just look at just the case of point. I mean, when's the last time Sylvan East played Tennessee High, you know? And here we are. They're getting ready to play. What is this, the first time in how many years? And they're bringing in extra bleachers. You know, it's just – that's just how hungry people have been for it. So, you know, it proves our point right there.
Yeah, I believe that it's been 8 or 10 years since they've played this game, and the game is actually at East. And like I say, East is 1-0. They pulled a squeaker out at Johnson County last week, and Greenville just went to Tennessee High and just annihilated them. You know, I'll just tell you, man. I've never liked Tennessee High, and I'm an East alumni, but I just don't think they got enough athletes to get the job done. Do you?
Well, I don't know, not really. I mean, but you know, Tennessee hasn't been Tennessee here in the last few years, so. I mean, I guess if you're looking at, like you said, if there's a time for it to happen, tomorrow night's the time for it to happen. So. I mean, I don't believe they have enough athletes, but, you know, that's why they play the games.
Well, for me, you look at it, I look at it like this. If you go down the rosters and you look at matchups, you know, where do you give, you know, where do you give East, you know, the benefit of the doubt, or the, you know, they got the better of athletes. Do you give them the, East has got a better quarterback, you know, who's got the better running back, who's got the better, you know, this, that, and other. So I think that's, you know, when you start breaking it down, I know East has had, you know, got a quarterback that's really, you know, everybody's planning on a game plan to stop him. But in the fact of the matter is, does he have anybody around him that can help him get the job done?
Well, I don't know what East has this year. I knew they squeaked one out against Johnson County. I know that they have a decent wide receiver or tight end. I really don't know much about East. I just know that them going into this game 1-0 has got to be some type of, you know, bonus for them. Just hope that the game's not too big for them being at home. Sometimes a situation can be just too big and they won't perform. So, well, but that's, again, that's why you play the games.
Well, I think, you know, the tight end, I believe the Laser Boy, I think you're talking about, he plays tight end, and they might have a good matchup there. But when you start talking about all the skill positions and the speed positions, that's where I wonder if East can match up to Tennessee High. And, you know, the difference is that East ain't going to have the ball all the time. So it's going to have to be more than just a quarterback kind of deal. You know, you got to play special teams. You got to play defense and all that. And as much as I'd like to see East win this game, man, and Lord knows I would, because it'd be the first time in history that East could win this football game. And for all that to happen, man, I'm telling you, Mike, it would be unreal. But I just don't think they got enough right now to do it. I just don't think they've ever, you know, we never could match up with their speed. And I think, and me and you both know that if you got speed, you know, you've actually got something. So, but if East does win this game, do you think it's going to be like the Tennessee beating Alabama?
Well, I think that's a good comparison for Bluff City. I think that it's very possible that there'll be a parade. It's probably be the biggest win that they've had. Well, I mean, it would be the first time that they beat Tennessee High. So, yeah, I would say high school-wise, in the mindset, you could probably say it's about Tennessee beating Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, it's never happened. And you know, this is – with them adding the bleachers and all that they're doing, I mean, this is – I'm surprised, honestly, that WCYB is not there covering this game on Friday Night Rivals, because I think it's going to be that kind of game. And I think if East could get a lead, they might just pull it off. And I'll tell you one thing about them. The last few years I've not watched them play but one game, and that was against Elizabethan a couple of years ago. But the last few years, they've been able to really strike fast. I mean, they struck fast over at Johnson County and scored two touchdowns like in 3 minutes, you know. So I think there's a great opportunity that if they get a lead early, that they might be able to pull that thing off. But if they fall behind early, I just don't believe that they're going to have enough down the stretch to get the job done. I'd be real surprised if they do.
Well, every time that we talk about big games, I don't know if you remember me saying it, it's always the moment, you know, how big is the moment? How much can they stay within the moment? If they fall behind, that's one thing. But, you know, if you get up, that's another thing too. How big is that moment for you? And as young kids, they don't get those moments often. And so the bigger the crowd, the bigger the moment, the louder the crowd, the bigger the moment. So it really just comes down to, can Sullivan East, just, in my opinion, just you know, take those emotions and just weather whatever storm happens, either good or bad.
Well, I like to say I don't know, and this time tomorrow we'll certainly know more. Or I will. You won't be. You'll be coaching or be somewhere where y'all are in a game, and I'll probably listen to the game. We'll come out here to rodeo. They got a rodeo here tomorrow, and I'm gonna come to it. But you know, I think it's going to be a great opportunity for that whole organization. For Sullivan East, and if they was to win that, I'm telling you, Mike, it's going to be unbelievable. You know, then you're going to hear how great everybody is and all that. On another statement, how about Elizabeth and going to Science Hill and dominating that game?
Yeah, I watched that game on TV, I just was thoroughly impressed with the way Elizabethan played offense and played defense. They executed. They tackled well. They're well coached. They got the team. It looks like they're on a mission. And then you look at the Hilltoppers. To me, it just looked like they just came out flat. They just didn't look like they were. I don't know. It almost felt like they knew that they didn't have a chance, and they played like they didn't have a chance. That's how I interpreted the game.
Yeah, I was gone and listened to part of it, and I actually picked Science Hill to win that game. I didn't know what kind of players Elizabethan would have coming back, and I just wasn't sure that they were ready, but, man, they seemed to be more than ready, you know, and actually one of the players, they interviewed him, and he told them that Coach Witten told them, hey, we'll go out here and dominate the game, we'll go undefeated. And they sure did that.
Well, I saw that same interview. And, I mean, listen, it's still a long season. And I do believe they still are going to have to go through Greenville. So, either way, either way, that team looked impressive. They looked impressive, special teams. They had their way with them. And right now it seems like if you had to pick somebody, I know Greenville won against Tennessee High, so it's like a repeat of last year. You're looking right now, I think you're looking Greenville and Elizabethan as your two front runners.
Yes, I wouldn't doubt that one bit. I mean, them Greenville, Elizabethan, and Anderson County seem to be where, you know, the championship's going to go through one of those three somewhere along the way, no matter what. But man, you know, it's amazing to me that I asked you for this question, and you know, I'd ask you the same thing because you've been around football a long time too. How would you feel if you're these 6A teams and these 4A teams just keep beating up on you, man? I couldn't swallow that. You know what I mean? I can't take that. These underdogs, I mean, theoretically, I mean, they're 4A for a reason, and they just, you know, I mean, that last year Science Hill won that game in like 4 or 5 years. I mean, they just been taking it to them for years. And you know, how would you digest that process?
You mean like just having a bigger school beating up on a smaller school, so forth? I've never been a fan of that. You know, if you're a 6A school, then you need to be playing 6A teams. If you're a 4A school, you need to be playing 4A teams. Now, I know it's probably the most it's the unpopular opinion, but it just makes sense. It's, you know, heavyweights don't fight middleweights in boxing. You know, wrestlers don't wrestle, a heavyweight doesn't wrestle a lower weight, right? They weigh in, they wrestle what they got. And I think football and basketball, and I think those sports should be the same way. I think if you're a 4A school, you need to be playing other 4A schools. The competition, I think, would be better. And you know, not only that, though, I think it would give teams hope throughout the season to, you know, hey, listen, you know, we're going to have a good season. And as opposed to looking on your schedule and you've got, like, out of your 10 games, over half of them are 6A schools. I don't see how that is for the 4A school, how that is even a fair matchup.
Yeah, but in this case, the 4A schools taking it to the 6A schools all the time, and that's what I'm saying. If I'm the 6A school and these 4A teams are still taking it to me every year, I can't take that. I've got to figure out something that, you know, well, first of all, how do they keep keeping their jobs? I don't understand that. You keep getting beat by lower level teams is basically what it is, but I couldn't take it, Mike. I mean, I'm just not geared that way and all that. And you know what? Year in and year out, it just seems like Elizabeth and in Greenville just knocked off all kinds of 5 and 6A teams, and both of them are 4A.
Well, I clearly misunderstood your question. And you know what? If I was on the other end, if I was a 6A getting beat by a 4A, first thing I would be wondering is how am I keeping my job, just exactly as you said. And then it's a testament, really what it is a testament to coaching. I mean, if you look at Greenville and you look at Elizabethan, those coaches are, I mean, those are quality Hall of Fame coaches. These just aren't some coaches that, you know, they just found off the street. These are coaches that have been in the trenches. They've been in the elite levels, and they understand, and they get the best and the most out of the kids that they got. Now, if you are a 6A coach and you have pretty much all of the athletes pretty much at your disposal and you're not getting them their play, I mean, that's part of your job as a coach is to recruit those kids in the school. So exactly, how are they keeping jobs? And I'm with you. I couldn't handle either. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
For me, you know, I wonder, you know, Mike, about, they talk about Stacy Carter, and I don't have nothing against these guys personal, but they talk about Stacy Carter being the winningest active coach up here. But just beating DB every now and again or every other year or whatever and winning or making the playoffs and getting beat and maybe having a winning season. I mean, you're talking 6A football in the state of Tennessee. There's no higher level in the state of Tennessee. Is that really enough to warrant keeping a job at a school like Science Hill when, in my opinion, they should be blowing out teams like Elizabeth and Greenville? I just, you know what, for me, I think it's an embarrassment. I'll just tell you right now. I mean, sure, we've got our hind ends beat, you know, coaching these women and all that, but we really only got manhandled one game. And you know what, it took a toll on us, and we dug deep. But these guys, year in and year out, I mean, in high school, when you get dominated 27-7 by a 4A school and really didn't have nothing going the whole game, I mean, they got dominated. I just wonder, is that what's enough? What qualifies as enough to say, you know, I'm doing to keep my job as the head coach of the Science Hill Hilltoppers?
Well, we've had this conversation before, you and I, about, like Sullivan East, for example, about, you know, is it enough to just compete? Do you want to win? Stacy Carter, from what I understand, has been at Science Hill for I don't know how long, but it's been quite a few years. When you look at the resume, it's like, would you rather be the winningest coach or would you rather have some state championships? You know, for me personally, I'll tell you this: if I'm coaching high school football and I'm a head coach and I've coached 5 years and I've won, you know, or let's say 15 years and I've won like one or two state titles, I'll take that anytime over being the winningest coach without a title. And that's just me. I don't know that if everybody feels the same way, but what about these athletic directors? What about the communities? I mean, it's like when is just being the head coach, the winningest head coach, when is that, you know, where is that amongst this high school sports as far as just as a coach? I mean, it's like, what are you talking? You're the head, the winningest coach in Hilltopper history, and you're the winningest coach in this area, but you got kids that have come through your program that's where it ends. And so here we're talking about Stacy Carter and not about these players that are coming through that are winning titles. When you look at Elizabethan, yeah, they got a well-known head coach, But, you know, these players are walking around saying, hey, man, I'm a state champion. So, you know, I'm with you. Where, when is it enough to just say, hey, you know, we're winning, but we're not winning?
Well, Mike, you got wins, but you don't have championships. And I want to ask you, and I know how you feel. I know, man, you rode bukus and miles and talked about it. But you know what? How could you, at a 6A school that huge in Johnson City, Tennessee, with all the resources and all the refunds they get and got and all that, how could just be winning football games be enough? You know what I mean? How can that just be enough to satisfy anybody?
In my eyes, as a coach, it's not enough. And if I had anything to do with the school, you know, and I was in a position to make changes, I most certainly would make changes. I'm not saying I have nothing against Stacy Carter. I don't know the man. I've never met him, never talked to him. And I'm sure he is a really, really good coach. But when it comes down to it, you know, coaching high school or coaching college or coaching pro, it's still a business at the end of the day. And it just can't be enough to say we win games. It's always an asterisk there. We win games, but we never win this. And, you know, listen, Science Hill is the only high school in Johnson City. It's not like they have anybody else to compete with. It is the only high school in Johnson City. And Johnson City has, I mean, I don't know what the population is, but they pretty much have their pick of the litter. And if you have, I don't know when enough is enough, but for them. But for me, enough is enough a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't either, Mike. It ain't enough for me either. I look at it like the NFL. You know, to me, it would be, Super Bowl or bust. I mean, everybody has the same payroll. I mean, the same amount of money to spend. You got the same players that you can go after. You got all this. For me, it would be Super Bowl or bust. And I would think if I'm, you know, especially of a coach that's been there that long. I mean, high expectations, you know, run high for organizations. And to think that you could hire a coach and him come in and the first year take a 0-10 team and win a state championship would be unreal. But a guy that's been there long enough to be the winning active coach up here, I don't think that's unreal. I think something, I don't know. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it keeps his job forever. But, you know, I just hear those statements and I just wonder, you know, what is enough? You know, what weren't these enough for him or anybody like him to keep their job?
Well, I guess that's the million-dollar question. You know, because I certainly, again, if I was in a position to do that, there should be some changes being made. I'm sure he's a great guy. I don't know him. Like I said, I've never met him. But, does that warrant, just because he's been there and is the winningest coach, does that warrant? I mean, change is inevitable, and it should have happened probably already.
Yeah, that's what I say too. Well, tell me this. I know you've seen the changes and all we're making with the USWFL. I know as of right now, me and you are semi-retired, unemployed, however you want to call it. But what do you think about the changes that we got in front of us?
I'm sorry, you broke up on me. What was that question?
I said, I know that me and you are semi-retired, unemployed in women's football, however you want to say it, but I know you've seen the changes that we've made in the USWFL. What do you think about the changes we got going on?
Well, I think you have resources that are readily available with the new owners that are, or with the new people you have on board. With Vital you know, the resources that they have and the connections that they have has made a huge difference. And it's really taken, and I'm not going to say the league was struggling, but I will say that we've, you know, just weren't as, I don't know, maybe competitive, if that's maybe a fair statement to say. But with the new teams coming in, it looks like it's going to be probably one of the most competitive leagues out there. And, you know, it goes back to the statement that we talked about a long time ago, too, is having, you know, your quality over quantity. So it looks like the changes that are happening within the USWFL are for, you know, 10 times the better. And they're moving forward. It seems like every day there's, you know, new endorsements and new players and coaches that are just, you know, coming aboard to endorse the league. And it seems like it's an exciting time for the USWFL.
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot of stuff going on. And Pam and Charlie McClear, they're the commissioners. And I'm telling you, man, they have worked their hind ends off. I know that everybody has, but listen, man, they have worked their hind ends off to get this thing going the way it is. And you know, this did a really good job. I mean, I haven't did a whole lot, I'll be honest, to steer them in certain directions and this, that, and other. But I'm going to tell you, man, I've been asked every day, all the time, and by players and other coaches and team owners and all these people, what's the status of Dave Johnson and Mike Wallace? Are we ever going to come back and coach women's football or not? Are we done or what? So I'm going to let you answer your question.
You're going to put me on the spot, I guess, huh? I've made a decision, verbally to you, I guess to Becky, and you know, I believe right now, as it stands right now, I think I'm gonna just stay retired from women's football.
Yeah, I'm sort of leaning. I ain't leaning. I'm right there with you. I'm really enjoying going roping all the time. You know, listen, man, it takes up a lot. I'll just tell you, even though we don't get to practice as much in women's football, it takes up a lot of mine and your time just preparing and talking and going over stuff and having meetings and in practice and all that. And, you know, I'm enjoying roping. Like I say, we're getting ready to rope here in a little bit. Ropes and get some steers run through for a rodeo they're having tomorrow. And man, I've thoroughly missed it, I'll be honest. And I told all these people, and I just told some people yesterday, I'm not ever going to say it never. And you know what? But the situation right now is not for me. You know, now I ain't going to say it won't change in a week or two. And I would just about say that me and you're on the same page with that, you know.
Right.
If the situation gets to where we think it should be, then it's possible that, you know, I would say at least for me, it's possible that, you know, you could see me on the field again.
Well, I kind of enjoy just kind of being on the outside looking in for a little while, and just, you know, observing everything that's going on and maybe going catching some games that I haven't, you know, that I've missed out over the past, you know, 6 years or so. And, you know, it's probably, you know, I don't know. I mean, to go and catch these games and just to hang out and talk and, you know, just to be a fan is probably something that I'm probably going to be used to for a little while.
Well, we can certainly go watch Jennifer play wherever she decides to play. If she decides to play again, we can go watch that and enjoy it. So, but like I can say, I'm with you right now. Just the way things are, I'm definitely 100% not interested in rebuilding. I can assure you that my rebuilding days are way behind me, man. We've rebuilt till, you know, it just don't seem like there's nothing left in us to rebuild. So I'm definitely not interested in that kind of situation, I can tell you.
I will tell you this. If I was to come back, it would have to be the ideal situation, and I would have to, you know, I mean, it would have to be almost the perfect situation to walk into.
Right. I get you. Man, hey, I appreciate you coming on here and talking tonight. See, I miss talking to you. Good luck to you guys. Hopefully I can catch a game, like I say, here in a week or two, or whenever y'all get to play at home or close by, catch a game, come and hang out.
Well, when we play at home, right now our games are going to be at Bluntville Middle School. You're pretty familiar with that field. So so when we do play, that'll be in a few weeks. But, yeah, you know, we have a big one tomorrow, and hopefully we can come out with a win. But I appreciate you having me on.
You bet, man. Take care of yourself, and we'll be talking.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, brother. All right, folks. In case you don't know, that was four-time champ coach Mike Wallace. We won four championships with Tennessee Thunder, Tri-City Thunder before we changed the name. And he coaches the Tri-City Christian now, assistant coach there. And they're an up-and-coming program. So check them out if you're in the area. Again, I've had some noise and stuff going on here. We're, like I said, over here at the rodeo in the valley and just rodeo arena. They're getting ready for a huge rodeo this weekend. And I just thought it'd be cool to come over here and do it. So I really, really enjoyed it. And like I said, maybe I can start getting some of these rodeo guys on here to talk. They don't like to talk much, but I'll get them on here. But you never know what I'm going to find from week to week to talk about or what to get into, but it's always fun. And like I say, every week we couldn't do it without JC Hawk Sports Network giving us this opportunity. We're just down to earth country people here, and that just seems to be the way we like things. So thank everybody for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Till then, see you later.